Welcome to King James Seminary. Today's lesson in the seminary Bible class, we will be looking at the sixth commandment found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Exodus 20, verse 13. Now this commandment is considered the social ethics of the law section, and this commandment concerns man's duty to man. We need to be advised that the one who mandated the law is also the one who will enforce the law. This verse, Exodus 20, verse 13, which reads, "Thou shalt not kill," is there for the protection of human life and is the primary purpose of government. Now, all ancient law codes include laws governing murder and its punishment. The word for kill means here murder, but is translated accurately as the word kill, so as to include all forms of homicide, such as manslaughter, suicide, euthanasia, abortion, mercy killings, unjust wars. Notice we said unjust or illegal wars. It would not include wars in general. Unjust wars would be considered fratricide. It is also an injunction against hatred, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Might also see Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Anger must have a just cause, as we see in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. The word murder is not used to forbid the killing of plants and animals. The word hatred is a word that, if found in our hearts, is condemnable, even if we don't act upon it. See 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Now, modern environmentalists vainly attempt to apply this law to both plants and animal life. Now, in the Old Testament, we see that there were six Levitical cities set aside as places of refuge for those who killed another person by accident. Criminals were not protected. And one might look at Exodus chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17. The six cities are named in Joshua chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 through 34, or to the end of the chapter, gives in more detail as to the circumstances of the crime that would determine guilt. Motive is an important factor. Old Testament law therefore distinguished between manslaughter and murder and death by accident. Chapter 35, verse 23 We see the difference there between justifiable homicide. Also, you might look at Exodus chapter 22, verse 2. Now, the counts of manslaughter in the United States would include voluntary manslaughter, infanticide, involuntary manslaughter, criminal negligence, vehicular manslaughter, and manslaughter by intoxication. The highest rate of murder and non-neglect manslaughter is found in Washington, D.C., at 12.9% as of last year. Now, in the year 2011, there were 14,612 people murdered during that year. That is the newest statistic I have here. Or that translates into five murders for every 1,000 people. Excuse me, that is the wrong statistic. That would mean that there's five people murdered for every 100,000 people in the United States. The government that does not properly punish murderers are held as guilty of the blood of the innocent. Governments are only good and strong when they are also righteous. The law that states ye shall reap that which you have sown, found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, has never been revoked. The law forbids personal revenge. Revenge belongs to God alone. See Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30, and Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. We are not to take the law into our own hands and to punish criminals, but we are to leave that to the government, as held in Romans chapter 13. Now, chapter 13 deals with human government and how we are to react with it. Biblically, it is not considered murder if proper and just legal procedures lead to the death of the wicked. Now, more and more we hear about environmental concerns and them attempting to love a tree and to love nature even more than the needs of mankind. Now, this brings to my mind the Nobel Prize winner of former years, about 100 years ago. His name was Albert Schweitzer. Now, he took this verse, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. He took this verse quite literally, and it took it to mean any kind of life. And as a consequence, he had the most unsterile operating room in Central Africa. No bacteria were ever killed on the operating instruments. He had the idea that there was good bacteria and bad bacteria, and no one knew which was which. So he just did not kill any bacteria for his operating. Now, the command in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, implies that defense of life is a virtue. That would also include self-defense is a virtue. Now, because even fallen man retains remnants of the image of God, now we see that God originally made man in his image in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Now, because man still retains remnants of this image, an unjust attack on another human, verbally or physically, is held as sacrilege of the sacrosanct, or desecration of the Holy of Holies. So in other words, attacking, an unjust attack on another person is similar to attacking God, even though it's not quite the same thing. Now, the greatest offender of this commandment is found in human government. Now, human government is in various governments are found around the world are corrupt for the most part. Now, the death count in the U.S., in the United States, just from abortion alone, is over 55 million since the law went into effect called Roe versus Wade, where that would translate into about, over 5 million innocent deaths a year. The Bible labels the unborn as babies, not fetuses, or not as tissue. The Bible is pro-choice. Yeah, that's hard to believe, that the Bible is pro-choice. But understand that the choice to have a baby is to be made before conception, not after. That's an important concept. The Bible is pro-choice. The choice to have a baby is to be made before conception, not after, and in the holy bonds of matrimony. The biblical verdict on abortion is found in Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. It is life for a life. Now here, let me use a illustration originally given by a man by the name of David Field, and I believe it is an excellent illustration concerning abortion. Quote, now a lecturer in a medical school to his students said, quote, would you abort a baby in the following circumstances? The circumstances being, the mother has TB or tuberculosis, the father of the child has sexually transmitted diseases, and has abandoned the home. They live in the poor section of town. The mother already has four children. One has died. One is blind. Another is deaf. The last one is seriously handicapped. Would you advise abortion? Now, almost all of this professor's students replied yes. The medical instructor, the professor, closed the lesson by saying, congratulations, you just killed Beethoven. End of quote. Let's go to a few additional points here. Saved man as opposed to fallen man is the royal representation of God as his children. John chapter 1 verse 12. Fallen man, in contrast, is in the image of Adam. See Genesis chapter 5 verse 3. Second thing, we are to reflect the character of God in word, James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, and action. That would be to work 6 days and rest in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Number three, the man who refuses Jesus as Lord and Savior murders himself. He has no one to blame for his own death, spiritually and eternally. We are to save life. This is the fourth concept here. We are to save life, not destroy it. Generally speaking, a life is the most valuable thing a person has in his possession. Therefore, merely abstaining from doing injury to others is not sufficient to fulfill God's law. This law includes forbidding all self-harm or injury of personal health in the life of your own body. So this law is against any form of self-harm. Now, we are to defend the life of our neighbor also. Now, the question of who is my neighbor can be re-asked or reworded as, whom should I love? Now, to make things simple, God simply states in succinctness that God is love, and love is the fulfillment of the law. Therefore, when and only when you have God will you be able to fulfill the law and realize what it actually means. This would include the end of the lesson on the sixth commandment. If there's no other questions, the next one, of course, will be the next commandment: "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer, please. Dear gracious Father, we ask now that you'll cause us to understand your word and your law, and give us understanding and wisdom. Help us, Lord, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and therefore to fulfill thy great commandment. Watch over us and make us doers of thy word. Increase our faith. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.